About the heart of the soul winner. We talked about the filling of the soul winner. We talked about a lot of different things when it comes to reaching out, communicating, and sharing our faith. Tonight we're going to look at the message of the soul winner. The message of the soul winner. When we have Kids Crusade, lots of times we ask certain people, will you come into lesson time so they can share the gospel with the young people who leave the room that have an interest in knowing a little bit more about Christ? But there are sometimes some people who do not feel comfortable with that, or would not even say, oh, I can't do that. You know, I think all Christians should be able to lead someone else to Christ. I think everyone should have knowledge. I think we should have the experience and have the tools ready to be able to lead someone to Christ when God gives us the opportunity to do that. And tonight, when I think it would be wrong for us to go through this entire series and not at least give you some basic tools of what the message is that we have to offer to someone else. So here's a couple hopes here that I have for tonight. Number one is to strengthen you if you already know, maybe give you some thoughts and some helpful things and encouragement, so that way we can say, you know what, I do have a message to give. Secondly, if you do not have the ability or the experience in leading someone to Christ, this will whet your appetite to where you can learn from tonight, but also that you'll find somebody you can trust and say, can you help me? I think one of the best ways is for an experienced soul winner to go with someone else and help someone else do that. Take somebody by the side and say, can I show you how to do this? Thirdly, I think it'd be great if someone tonight really, truly did not understand what the gospel message was and never been saved, that they come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because they've heard the truth of the gospel. And you say, it's a Wednesday night. And there's a lot of people who come to church all their lives and never truly make a decision to accept Christ. And so those are some of the hopes that are tonight. The message of the soul winner, you know, we've talked about a lot of different illustrations so far in the series. And there's a lot of different analogies the Holy Spirit gives. The Holy Spirit gives a shepherd looking for a lost sheep, and we talked about that. We talked about a farmer that is harvesting his crops is another analogy of a soul winner. A fisherman bringing in fish, another analogy. And tonight we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that gives probably one of my favorite analogies, probably not the one that's most used, but it's that we're ambassadors. You say, well, what is an ambassador? Webster puts it this way, an ambassador is a minister of the highest rank accredited to a foreign government or sovereign as the official representative of his government or sovereign. So what it talks about here is that God has given us a word, God has given us a message, we are ambassadors, we represent him as we go out and tell other people. Now, most of us would know him in the political sense as an ambassador, as if we had a message that we wanted to give to another country, the president would pick an ambassador or some high-ranking official would pick an ambassador and say, I want you to go over and I want you to give this country this message on the behalf of our nation. You're representing the nation. So here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, I'd like for you to see the message that we've been entrusted with and what a message it is. You think about the glorious message of the gospel. Look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's look in verse number 18. The word of God says, and all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now we see this word reconciled. What does this word reconciled mean? It's the Webster put it this way, brought into friendship from a state of disagreement or enmity. Reconciliation, and the idea of scriptures, Webster puts it this way, sinners are reconciled and brought into a state of favor with God. So this ministry of reconciliation that we've been given, it says in verse 18, the ministry of reconciliation is we have the word that God's given us. We are the ambassadors. God has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and we were enemies of God. We were at odds with God as lost, and then we, through the blood of Jesus Christ, can be reconciled once again. Look what it says here in verse number 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. So he was bringing this relationship back and giving the world an opportunity to be reconciled unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Because if we were going to have to pay for our sin, we were not going to be able to be reconciled to God because we were against God because of our sins, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. So some great verses here. We're not going to take a long time to explain them all, but get this idea here, that God has given us this ministry. That ministry, you see, is in the put at the end of verse number 19, is the word of reconciliation. It has been committed to us. God has given us this ministry. He says, okay, you are my ambassadors. I am giving you this word of reconciliation. Now, I want you to go and tell the world that you are apart from God. You are lost without God. You are lost from God, but there is a way to be reconciled back to God. And that's the message we have. You're lost. You're headed to a horrible place called hell. You're separated from God because of your sins, but God sent Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and paid our sin debt for us so we could be reconciled back. Now, everyone who believes, he wants you to go now and tell other people. And what a wonderful message. And what a wonderful thought is that we are ambassadors. Just a couple little side notes. So the reason why I like the ambassador analogy is because we represent God. You know, the people that are ambassadors and they go to another country and they act stupid and do dumb things, they don't represent our country very well. They get fired. They get punished for the things they've done. And sometimes we as Christians, we think, well, I can do whatever what I want. I can say whatever I want. Nobody really cares who's really watching. You know, we're ambassadors. We represent. We have a job to say. Not only do we have a job and God to represent, we have a message to give. That message is not whatever we decide it is. That message is not something we can candy coat, that we can switch around, that we can change, that we can say things that are more maybe tolerating to the world today. No. If our president gave a message to an ambassador and says, I want you to go to this country and I want you to say this, you know what would be said? What the president said, or there would be punishment. There would be problems. And as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we need to make sure that we are saying the message that God's given, making sure that we're doing the job that God's called us to do. And we, our responsibility is being an ambassador of Jesus Christ. So let's go and see what this message is. The first thing I want you to see is it's the gospel, pure and simple. The gospel, pure and simple. Okay, Pastor, you told me we have a message to give. So what is this message that we're supposed to give? Well, look what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand. Paul doesn't say, hey, you remember this message and this message, and these are all the things I preached to you. You know what he said? He says, this is what I preached unto you. Obviously, they learned other doctrines. Obviously, they learned other truths after they got saved, but it was the gospel message they presented. And later on in the same chapter, he even explains it a little bit farther. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. This is the gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection for our sins. This is the message that Paul was said, I preached unto you. This is the message. And once again, we're going to learn that we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading, and there's different ways to present it, and there's different verses that can be used, and all those different things, but don't ever forget this. This is the gospel. This is the ministry of reconciliation. Jesus Christ died for your sins. According to the scripture, it was already planned. He was buried and triumphantly rose again. It is a message that we should share. This is the message we should give. Now, don't get me wrong. I think it's great to go up to somebody, if you really honestly mean it, and say, hey, I think we've got a great church. I think you should come visit us. If they're not going to come to church because of the gospel, maybe we can get them to come to church, and then they get to hear the preaching of the gospel. You know, we got this great music, or we got this great pastor, or we got this great thing. You know, those are different things that we try to do, but we always center it. We try to center it around this one thing. It's the gospel. This is what we need to present. And I mentioned a few weeks ago, I wasn't picking on humanitarian efforts. I think that a lot of people are doing a lot of good things. But if they do all these humanitarian things and do not leave the gospel, you know what? You're still leaving them. You're leaving them lost. The gospel needs to be there. It needs to be evident. You say, well, what is the gospel? It literally means good news. Indeed, Christ's death in our stead, his burial and resurrection and triumphal victory over the grave is not only good news, it is great news. And by placing your trust in him and the payment he has paid for our sins is a good thing. We can be reconciled to God. People don't understand. The Bible says that they're enemies. They're separated from God. But we can be reconciled back into him. This is the message of the soul winner. This is what we need to tell the world. Now, here's part of the problem. Some people like to front load this message and try to complicate the message to where people don't understand it. And they use some different terminologies. They use extra biblical requirements. And it becomes more of a discussion about the doctrines of salvation than it does the true plain gospel of Jesus Christ. I think we need to be careful instead of trying to explain. Now, once again, if people have questions, obviously you're going to answer their questions with the Word of God. But the clear presentation of the gospel, people simply need to understand the gospel and they need to turn in faith to Jesus Christ. You think about it. Some people share the gospel with others, and they complicate things to where the people are confused and they never accept Christ. How much did you know when you became a Christian? I know as a child, I knew that I wasn't lost. I was in need of a Savior. I went up and repented of my sins, and I cried out to God to save me. Did I understand all the doctrines of salvation? No. And, I mean, you could write books and volumes about those things. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to downplay the importance of the Bible and the Word of God, but it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you go through all these different passages and all these different stories, like the Philippian jailer and things like that. Many times they got saved on their first presentation of the gospel. So I don't want to minimize, you know, the fact that knowing and having knowledge, but also do not complicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. Second thing is, do not make it shallow either. Do not water it down. It is not some used car sales pitch. It's not. It's not trying to get somebody just to pray a prayer. That's not going to, is by having someone call and turn in repentance and believe solely on Jesus Christ. And sometimes people are more interested in numbers. They get repetitive. They get trite in their presentation and they just try to convince somebody to say some words. But convincing someone to say some words is not going to help a person get saved. And both these different extremes will cause people in to kind of mess up the message that we've been entrusted with. So when we're talking about the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message that the ambassadors have, let's make sure that we're not trying to complicate things. Let's not hide things. Let's not try to water down things. You know, people are lost. They are in need of a Savior. Their sins have separated them. Jesus Christ has paid their sins. You know, but don't try to complicate it, but also don't try to water it down. People need to understand and see the truth to be able to receive it. And so the gospel, pure and simple. Next thing I want you to think about is it's a message, not a script. It is a message, not a script. Now, tonight I'm going to give you some verses, some basic verses that many of you probably could quote. And I'm glad you can quote them because you're supposed to be able to quote them if you've been saved for a while. But it is a message. It's not some memorized script. You think about it, if you were an ambassador and you were given this job to go over to a country that maybe could be a little bit hostile, your job was to present a peace offering that was generous and that was gracious, and if the other country understood the heart of your president, they would definitely jump on it and be excited about it. What would you do if you had that job? If you were going by yourself as an ambassador, what would you do? You would take that message and you would study that message. You may even memorize that message. You would probably study it frontwards and backwards, inside and out. You'd probably go to the meeting with a pre-written script, maybe some type of outline, so that way you can know. But say you're there and you're at this meeting and you're trying to present this message. And as you present this message, people look like they're not interested. You ever been there as a teacher? You should try preaching sometimes. Some people just look like they're not interested. I don't know why. Then when they get out, they say it was a great message. They can tell you all about the message. But if you saw the look on their face, you'd want to stop. Mrs. Wallace, a couple weeks ago, brought a tomato in the morning service. I thought she was going to throw it at me. So she afterwards, she left. She says, "You did pretty good. I didn't have to throw it today." So I was picking on her because she brought a tomato in. But, you know, sometimes the look is what would you do? You're going to keep on giving? No, the idea is you're going to try to maybe set aside your script and maybe begin to give the message, the heart of the message. Maybe this way isn't working, so you're going to change and maybe explain to them your desire, your heart desire. You're going to do whatever possible to lodge your message into the heart and persuade people to agree with you. Doesn't mean you're going to change the message, but you're going to do something that's going to cause them to maybe understand it a little bit better. And you know the stakes are very high at this presentation and at this meeting, and that you want your message to get across. And even if it means that you have to go off your predetermined presentation. So what are you getting at, Pastor? I'm saying that sometimes you're going to have to use other verses besides just the Romans Road to help see people saved. I think the Romans Road is great. I think the Romans Road is wonderful. I think we should have it memorized. I think it gives us some clear avenues of basic doctrines that help us teach us the salvation. But the reality of it is we have been entrusted with such an important message that is important that we realize and that we see and grasp. We learn the gospel. We learn the message of the gospel inside and out, upwards and downwards. We become good at giving out the gospel. We become good, an expert in telling other people about Jesus Christ. Look here in this verse number 20 again. At verse number 20 says, "Now then we are ambassadors." Now look at this next phrase. I think this is interesting. "For Christ." So that's who we're ambassadors for. That's who we're representing. "As though God did beseech you by us." This word beseech is, it gets this idea of begging in a sense, but it's compelling. It's saying God is compelling you by us. We're the ambassador. We're giving the word of reconciliation. And we pray, us that are ambassadors, we pray you, those that are lost in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. This is a compelling argument. This is personal. I'm going to try to make you explain. I know sometimes when you talk to people, you want them to understand something. You explain it one way and they're like, "Do you understand?" They're like, "Uh-uh." And then you try to tell them another way. You do everything you can till the light bulb comes in. And that's kind of what we're doing with the gospel of Jesus Christ, is we need to continue on to just being, compelling and trying to encourage people to come in. But we have an advantage. You know what our advantage is? It's the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of us. He can lead us. He can direct us. He can guide us. He can give us the words to say. If we're walking in the Spirit and we're living in the Spirit, and once again, you're not going to get any more of the Holy Spirit, but if you're letting Him fill you, you can use Him, and He can be used through you to give you the exact message. I chose that Ethiopian eunuch story. Why don't you take your Bibles back to Acts chapter number 8? Acts chapter number 8 is one of my favorite soul-winning stories. You say, why? Well, it's amazing how God speaks to a spirit-filled soul winner to reach a spirit-ready responder, or the person who's listening. This man is ready to hear the gospel. This man is studying the scriptures. Philip has been in Samaria. He's been preaching the gospel. He's had great results. The Holy Spirit of God tells him to go, the angel of the Lord, excuse me, tells him to go somewhere. Look at verse number 26, Acts chapter number 8. Acts 8, 26, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." Now, once again, you say, what's the big deal? Well, he's leaving a revival to go to see one man. God loves individuals. "And he arose and went, and behold, a man of the Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot and read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said unto, Understandest thou what thou readest?" And go down now to verse number 35. "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." So what are you getting at here? He's not using the Romans Road there. You want to know why? The book of Romans haven't been written yet. But what do you see here is a spirit-filled man witnessing to someone who is ready to respond. A spirit-filled man getting ready to listen to a spirit-prepared listener. See, this man was ready to receive. And the Holy Spirit of God, and you see where it says that in verse number 35, isn't that pretty cool? He says, he opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He had a knowledge, he had an understanding, he had a working understanding of the scriptures. He could, from that scripture on, present the gospel and preach unto him Jesus Christ, and that it was Jesus Christ that was saved. Say, what are you getting at? It's a message. It's not a script. It's not saying, okay, let me say this, let me say that. You can't ask any questions. You can't have any conversation. No, you need to listen. We're not to that point yet. No. It's a message that we have. It's the gospel. And we should be good at giving the gospel. And as I mentioned earlier, we have something better than any ambassador has. We have the Holy Spirit of God who has given us and written the written message. In John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will guide you into all truth. Christian, I know you're saying, I'm not good at this. Are we spirit-filled? We should be able to share this truth with other people. This is something we should be able to do. Remember, we're ambassadors. This is something God's given us as a responsibility. Okay, so let's go now to some basic gospel scriptures. Basic gospel scriptures here. These are some core set of verses that are here. And I want you to understand and get some of these different things. I do not, once again, want to tell you these are the only things you can use, because it's not. The Bible speaks of Jesus Christ on every page. You can go, and certainly, obviously, other ones are easier to get Jesus Christ out of, but you know, the Bible is all about Jesus Christ. So, basic gospel scripture. So what are you supposed to do with these? Well, my advice is that you learn these scriptures. You memorize them. If you say, well, I already did that, well, great. You go over them again. We're actually, in the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at these as our memory verses for the week, this upcoming week. It's Romans 3:10 and Romans 3:23. But as soul winners, we need to let the Holy Spirit lead us. You say, well, I already know all these verses. Well, then let the Holy Spirit lead you in giving a clear presentation of the gospel. You say, well, I do not know how to win someone to Christ or how to lead someone to Christ. This is the best place to start. Then getting with someone. And maybe we'll have a couple classes on a Saturday if people are interested, so we can practice and so we can learn these things. You know, lots of people use this terminology, the Roman road, because they're all from the book of Romans. They clearly give the main truths of the gospel. The idea that we're condemned as sinners, that Christ died for our sins, that he offers us a gift of salvation. I don't begin in the book of Romans when I talk to somebody, unless the Holy Spirit leads, obviously. Usually I begin with John 3:16. The reason why I begin with John 3:16, because one of the most important truths that we can tell them is that we want them to realize that God loves them. They're getting ready to hear that they are going to be, that they're all sinners, they're all wicked, they're all separated from God, and that they're facing, you know, eternal death. But I think the first message that people need to understand is that we have a God that loves them, a God that cares for them, a God who knows them and knows them by name, and he sent his son down the cross to die for them. And that's something for me that I like to share with somebody. You know, God loves you. I know you're going through a hard time. I know you're going through tough things. I don't want you to lose sight of this. God loves you. And the Bible says it. And John 3:16 is something that probably at least 50% of the world, if not more, has heard of before. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And many times I'll go back to that reference and show them, look, the Bible says you are perishing already, that you are lost without Christ. But it begins with this first message. This is what I like to tell people. Once again, it's not a script, it's a message. So if you do it differently, praise the Lord, just make sure you're doing it. But I begin with John 3:16, and God loves them. Then I begin to show them their need. And then Romans chapter number 3, once again, I know most of us could memorize, have this memorized, we could say it. We tell people their condition. All of us have sin, have a sin nature. All of us sin by choice. Sin is any action that is contrary to God. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. When you're dealing with someone, we sometimes talk about what sin is, what type of sins. I asked last week inside the classroom and the one age group, you know, explained what sin was. And is there anybody in the room that had never sinned? First classroom, nobody raised their hand. I said, that's right. The Bible says that. Of course, you know, in the second classroom, some little girl raised her hand. And I was like, okay. And I explained to him what sin was. You ever had a bad thought? You ever had a lie? And the little girl said, nope, never did any of those things. I says, I need to talk to you afterwards. So, cause the Bible says it, that we're all sinners. And in Romans 3:23 even goes a step further and explains to it, not only we're sinners, but this sin has came and separated us from God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have not reached that glory of God, that we are lost without, we're separated from him. Now, if a person knows If a person has a little bit of a background knowledge and knows about Adam and Eve and the Garden of Eden, you say, how do you know that? Well, one of the first questions I ask as many times is, tell me a little bit about your church background. And if they start talking about church, and the easy transition there is, say, you know what? Going to church is really important. Being part of a church is really important. But being part of a church is not going to save you. Has there been a day and a time in your life when you've asked Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Savior? And if they have expressed some knowledge of the Bible, I'll take in Romans 5 and verse number 8. Another great verse is actually 5 verse 12, excuse me. I actually have it. Up there wrong. It's 5:12 if you want to write it down. It's 5:12. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And I explained to him that we're all sinners. We're all lost and apart from God. Now, our sin has a penalty. And you notice God's price for our sin. And we take him to Romans 6:23. In Romans 6:23, the Word of God says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, and I explained to him what a wage is. We help them understand that, first of all, God loves them. Secondly, you show them what state they're in. You know, sin has been passed down to all mankind. It's something that everyone has, something we all deal with. And, something, except for Jesus Christ, who was virgin born, every other person has this sin nature. Everyone else deals with this sin nature. Now, notice the price, God's price for sin. And it takes from Romans 6:23, says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I explained to him what a wage is. Most of us know what a wage is. A wage is something that a man earns, you think, or a woman earns, a paycheck for the work that was done. Even so, eternal death is what we have earned because of our sin. And then I explained to him that Christ died for them. Romans 5:8. And you explain it to him. Look, this eternal death means that we are separated from God forever. This is a spiritual death. This is not talking about physical death. This is a spiritual death, eternally separated from God. But Jesus Christ loved you so much. He saw your problem. And it says in Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We explained to him that Jesus Christ became our sin penalty for us. Jesus paid our payment when he died for us. Although we were lost, although we were the ones separated from God, he loved us. And because he loved us, he sent his own son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sin. And after his death, he rose again from the dead 3 days later. And this is sometimes when I come back to John 3:16. Remember, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Remember, he loved you so much, he gave you his son. That way, since you were perishing, and you tie back in Romans 6:23, since you had that penalty or that wage that you were paying and is death, Jesus Christ loved you so much that he died for you. And then you go talking about confessing your faith in Christ. And that in Romans chapter number 10, verses 9 and 10, once again, familiar verses. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, so here it is saying that if we will confess with our mouth, believe in our heart, it's not just something that we just say, it's something that it speaks of us not only saying it, but believing in our heart. You have this terminology here, it's a wonderful phrase. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And I talk to them about then what salvation. And at the end of verse number 9, it says, thou shalt be saved. Just like, thou shalt be saved. What do I need to be saved from? And you go back to them and show them, look, your sin penalty, your sin debt. These are the things that you need. And then, obviously, I usually end it with Romans 10:13. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And now, if a person's interested in the gospel, and they've been listening, they've been receiving, and they've been understanding, they've been nodding, that's something now that you can ask them something, talk to them, ask them questions. Do you believe that you're a sinner? Do you believe that you're separated from God? Do you have the ability to save yourself? Have a conversation with them. Also, do you believe that Jesus, God's Son, shed his blood to pay for your sins? Would there be anything that would stop you or keep you from accepting Jesus Christ right now? Things like that. Now, if a person is not paying attention, if a person's not responding, if a person is just trying to get rid of you, you say, yes, there's people I've seen that try to get somebody to pray, even though they're trying to get them out of the house. That doesn't help them at all. And if there's times that when somebody doesn't seem interested, they listen a little bit, ask them if you can come back. Or tell, or even just tell them that we'll talk more about it later and then follow up on them. It's not something, you know, if you get somebody to pray a prayer and they really truly don't understand or really aren't interested in what you're doing, you're not helping them at all. Now, it's important to confess with your mouth. It's the idea, it's just not saying words, it's believing in your heart. Another thing is that's left out inside this list is sharing your personal testimony. You know, some people are like, I don't know these verses. I don't know all this stuff. You can learn this. This is one of the first things we should learn as Christians. But you can share what God did for you. You can talk about what you were before you became a Christian. Talk about what transpired to help you become a Christian. And then your life that has changed since you became a Christian. If you have a testimony of what God's did for you, most of you heard my testimony. I talked about how as a kid I wanted to get baptized. My dad wouldn't let me get baptized. I got mad, thought everything was good. I thought, and it wasn't until that night and then that day and that night, you know, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. I got saved. I became a Christian. And the difference that God has made in my life. And since then, the difference God has made in my life, the change that God's made in my life. Your testimony is something that's yours. It's personal. It's different than probably anybody else's. What you were before, what brought you to Christ, and in that, you tell, if you remember it, tell everything that happened. I realized that I was a sinner. I knew I was lost without God. I knew that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I accepted him as my Savior, and I asked him to save me from my sins. And since then, God's changed my life. Have I been perfect? No. But my desires have changed. My this has changed. My that's changed. And God has helped me in all these different areas. That's another way that you can share the gospel with Jesus Christ with someone. A couple of concluding thoughts here. It's not about how well we wrap something. It's not how pretty the package looks. Sometimes people, they forget so much important about the gift inside. They make the outside look so great that they forget all about the importance of the gift. And when it comes to soul winning, it's not about how eloquent, how pretty you can make things sound, how good. And once again, there is no substitution for praying and the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. But some people think that it's a script and you can just say certain things and check things off that everybody's going to get saved. It doesn't work that way. Didn't work that way for me. I heard the gospel I told you I've been going to church 9 months before I was born. I heard the gospel tons of times, but it wasn't until at 8 or 9 years old as a boy that I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. It's when I understood my need, I saw my need, I accepted my need, and I asked him to save me. It was different for me, and it was different for you. It's about being faithful to God. He's made you an ambassador. He's given you that ministry of reconciliation, the word of reconciliation. He has entrusted that. What a wonderful, valuable thing that God has given us. He has entrusted us with this. There's a couple verses here. But as we are in 1 Thessalonians 2:4, but as we were allowed of God to put in trust with the gospel. Listen to this. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth the hearts. We have been entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ, so we're not supposed to please men. We're not supposed to water it down. We're not supposed to forget about the sin part. We're not supposed to forget about the separation part. We're not supposed to forget about the part that we put our faith and trust in him and him alone. No. We're pleasing God when we speak like this. We're ambassadors of Jesus Christ. I'll remind you one more time of 2 Corinthians 5:19. To wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So let's close with this thought. If we were ambassadors for America and we were doing the job we have been doing that we've been doing for God, how good would we be doing? If we had been given a job to be an ambassador over to another country, we've been given a message. We've been given a responsibility. I want you to go here. I want you to do this. I want you to talk to these people. How good have we done? We've been given something more important than any message from any president. We've been entrusted with the gospel. How well have we done with the message God's given us? He's entrusted us with. Many of us aren't even communicating our faith a little bit, much less trying to share the gospel with someone. Let me ask you, when's the last time you actually made it through a gospel presentation with another person? Now, we're not counting Kids Crusade last week. That's important, don't get me wrong. But those visits were right, they were right there for you, and that was the work that was being done. Before that, when's the last time you really had the chance to share the gospel with someone? I'm not saying did you get them saved or not, because our responsibility is to go. Our responsibility is to give. Our responsibility is to communicate it. The Holy Spirit of God does the convicting. The Holy Spirit of God does the drawing. But when's the last time we've done that? As ambassadors of Jesus Christ, I think some of us probably could do a little bit better. I think most of us could probably do a little bit better. Let's ask God to help us with that. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.